disclaimer. The following broadcast gives a true and honest account of the events described, and all evidence and details herein are solely factual. What you are about to hear is real and may disturb you. Caution is strongly advised. Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
If you find our show interesting and you'd like to support us, please consider heading over to ko-fi.com/deadsouls. That's ko-fi.com/deadsouls, and donating to our research and investigations. If Instagram is more your thing, you can find us there by searching Dead Souls Podcast and we'll come up. Additionally, we'll soon be relaunching our Patreon page. We will offer additional subscriber-only episodes and a ton of extra content on a subscription basis. So if you'd like to subscribe to our research, you can do, and you'll be able to get instant access to all of that good stuff too. We'll be relaunching in May, which will give us enough time to preemptively add a bunch of episodes and content over there ready for you all. As always, thank you for joining us. This is the Calvine UFO. If someone was to ask you to think of a location with a picturesque landscape and mythical and rich history, high on your list of answers might be Scotland. A modest-sized nation of some 30,000 square miles, Scotland is one of the four nations of the United Kingdom and boasts some of the most incredible scenery and natural environments in the world. Situated in the North Atlantic, with the North Sea to its eastern coast, Scotland is home to over 790 small islands, more than 30,000 freshwater lakes, or lochs in the native Gaelic, and 282 mountains of 3,000 feet in height or more. The country is the stuff of fairy tale, magic, mystery, legend, and folklore. The proud nation is packed with glorious history and filled with wonderful and unique culture. The Union of the Crowns, the Battle of Culloden, the Glencoe Massacre, and the clearing of the Highlands all echo throughout history, as does its most famous sons and daughters like William Wallace, Robert Burns, Mary Stuart, Robert the Bruce, Flora MacDonald, and Robert Louis Stevenson, to name just a small few. But Scotland also has its fair share of mystical and paranormal mysteries, like the Loch Ness Monster, the Ghost Piper of Clanyard Bay, Kelpies and the Selkie folk, and the sea witch who conjured the Corryrackan whirlpool. Scotland, like much of the rest of the ancient British Isles, has over the years also attracted one of the most contemporary unexplained phenomena, that of unidentified aerial phenomena, or UFOs in the traditional moniker. It's said phenomenon that I'm going to discuss tonight, and in particular one specific event that was until recently considered as merely a rumor, the Calvine UFO event. This event has somewhat stunned the UFO community and has gained considerable mainstream media exposure in the latter quarter of 2022. A photograph from the event that has been unveiled by the UK Ministry of Defence after being kept hidden and classified top secret for more than 30 years has now made its way into the public domain and is being dubbed as possibly the best UFO photograph ever taken. So what's the story here? What happened? And what can we take from this recent release of secret government information? Well, Calvine is a relatively unknown and small hamlet in Scotland. It's unfamiliar even to those who live in the region and doesn't particularly have a reputation for anything. The small region is just off the A9 Link Road that connects the well-known Highlands to the central belt of the country. It's located in Perthshire and is approximately 35 miles northwest of the city of Perth itself. And the Falls of Brower are around a mile to the south of the tiny hamlet. However, the story, and in particular the photograph that is now associated with the incident in the area, will surely put the area on the map. On the 4th of August 1990, at around 9 p.m, a diamond-shaped object, estimated to be around 100 feet wide, was seen by two men near the town of Calvine. The object hovered silently in place for approximately 10 minutes before rising vertically at extreme high speed into the sky. The object was said to be metallic in appearance, and in close proximity to the craft, a Royal Air Force Harrier jump jet was also spotted flying. It remains unknown if the RAF jet was intercepting the object, escorting it, or something else. The object was photographed by the two witnesses of the event. The images were taken along with five other snapshots by Kevin Russell. Russell was a porter at the Pitlochry Hydro Hotel at the time. Him and a co-worker witnessed the UFO while hiking at the Cairngorm National Park where Calvine is located. They had hiked there after finishing their work shift earlier that evening. In the days that followed the strange sighting and of the photographs being taken, the original images were handed by Russell over to the Scottish national newspaper, The Daily Record. They, in turn, provided the photographic evidence to Royal Air Force Press Officer Craig Lindsay, who himself then passed the photographs to the Ministry of Defence due to their peculiar nature and in an attempt at identification. That, however, is where the trail stopped. Sort of. In August 2022, the photograph was released by the UK Ministry of Defence some 32 years after the event occurred. Associate Professor Dr. David Clark of Sheffield Hallam University is one of the UK's leading experts on contemporary legend and folklore. He is also a member of the UAP Media UK group. It was down to extensive research and lobbying the UK government by Clark that the image has finally seen the light of day. We have added the image to our Instagram for you to view. You can also visit our website to view the photograph by going to www.deathcult.com/Calvine. Now, Death Cult is not spelt in the traditional manner, so that's www.deathcult.com/Calvine. We've added a number of photographs related to this episode on that page. As you can see in the photograph, an extremely large aerial craft is clearly seen in the still image. It is stationary in the air as it hovers high above the ground. As reported by the two witnesses, the craft is diamond-shaped and appears to be metallic in structure. It is approximately 30 meters in length and is concurrent with the stereotypical mechanics and descriptions of a so-called flying saucer. In the background of the image, the RAF Harrier fighter plane can also be seen. As it's in the distance, it's much smaller in scale to the unknown craft, but it was indeed officially identified by the Joint Air Reconnaissance Intelligence Centre, or JARIC, who had access to all six photographs as a Royal Air Force Harrier jump jet fighter. The photograph entirely corroborates what the eyewitnesses claim they saw. What we don't know, however, is who the pilot of the Harrier jet was. If they are still with us, they are presumably subject to the Official Secrets Act. They have never come forward with their interpretation of events that evening. What's strange is that it was revealed in October 2021 that Scottish aerial operation records show no official listing, record or account of any aircraft, either civilian or military, that was operating in the skies on the day in question in the aerial position located above Calvine. Take from that what you will, of course. All original photographs and accompanying negatives were held by the MOD and or the Daily Record newspaper after their initial analysis. Former Ministry of Defence aerial anomalies investigator Nick Pope has previously stated that the Calvine UFO photograph was actually framed and hung on the wall in his office at the Ministry of Defence. Craig Lindsay, the RAF press officer who had received the photographs initially from the Daily Record, had kept a copy of the photographs for himself after providing the authorities with copies of the snapshots. Having been the first official correspondent to speak with the two men who took the pictures, Lindsay went on to conduct an interview about what the men saw and experienced in Calvine. This, however, would take its toll on Lindsay's well-being and mental health for more than 30 years. Initially, Lindsay thought he was in possession of something extraordinary and full of mystery. But Lindsay began to fear for his job and his livelihood, as he knew he had broken protocol by keeping the photograph. He grew more fearful knowing that the MOD were keeping it a secret. Thus, Lindsay kept the photograph locked away for the last three decades, not discussing it with anyone or showing it to anyone. Dr. David Clark managed to track down Lindsay to his home and approached him for comment. Mr. Lindsay, who is now 83 years old, actually breathed a huge sigh of relief when Clark came, and he said at the time, "I've been waiting for someone to contact me about this for more than 30 years. The burden has finally been lifted from my shoulders. Now, Dr. David Clark is a fairly significant name in UK ufology, and he has helped to uncover the truth about many reports of anomalous aircraft in previous years. His skill set and tenacity for searching out and identifying the truth in an anomalous event likely stems from his journalistic work at the Sheffield Star and Yorkshire Post newspapers in the past, in addition to him holding the position of press officer in the local government sector for a four-year period. As a cherry on the cake, Dr. Clark was also curator of the Ministry of Defence's UFO Files project within the UK National Archives between 2008 to 2013, and gave him unprecedented access to data that most ufologists can only dream of. Dr. David Clark has also written and published a number of books, such as How UFOs Conquered the World, The History of a Modern Myth, and Britain's Extraordinary Files. Both of which are fantastic books, by the way, and if you get a chance to pick a copy up, I highly recommend them both. They're available on Amazon, and no, I'm not being paid to promote them. But I will add links to both books in the show notes, should you wish to pick a copy of either of them up. Anyway, according to an interview that Dr. Clark gave to the Daily Mail on August the 12th, 2022, he said the fact that a British military jet was circling the area where the unidentified aerial object was seen at the time and was actually photographed alongside the anomalous object leads to significantly more questions in regards to the Calvine incident. In fact, at the point the incident took place in 1990, the Cold War was still ongoing, as it had not yet come to its December 1991 conclusion. During this period, as it had been the same over the previous 40 years of the stagnant conflict, it was routine for aerial reconnaissance to regularly take place in the skies above NATO countries. It was not uncommon for Soviet aircraft to test the response times and means of its enemy forces with incursions around NATO territories. So aerial operations were not uncommon, and in particular, the area of Calvine was relatively close to RAF Macrahanish. Macrahanish was a Royal Air Force base that operated between 1918 and 1996. Initially, the base at Macrahanish was used as a repairs and maintenance location for RAF jets, but it was redeveloped in the early 1960s and assigned to NATO usage. In March 1968, it was then reassigned to United States Air Force usage, with a US Marine Corps detachment being stationed there from 1974. And then in the early 1980s, the United States Navy SEAL Special Warfare Task Group made it its base. In the years that went by, more than £45 million UK pounds was spent by the Ministry of Defence and their US partners in further developing the airbase, and it was designated as a secondary landing site for the NASA Space Shuttle in 1981 due to its significantly long 3-mile runway. Following the Calvine incident, a number of conspiracies and stories regarding top-secret NATO research and missions, which were rumoured of being conducted by the United States government in the central Scottish area, were claimed to be what the eyewitnesses saw and photographed on that day in 1990. There was significant chatter amongst ufologists at the time that the sighted aircraft was in fact that of Aurora or similar prototype craft. For those of you who are unaware of the Aurora project, let's get into that a little bit. Project Aurora was a rumored mid-1980s American reconnaissance aircraft project. There is absolutely no substantial evidence that it was ever actually built or flown, and it has officially been deemed a myth by the United States government. Or so the official story goes. There is, in fact, substantial evidence in the public domain to prove that not only did the Aurora project exist, but it was a success. What we now know, although the United States Department of Defense has never announced or declassified this, is that the Aurora aircraft was initially a jet-black triangular aircraft capable of hypersonic speeds in excess of Mach 5, or roughly 4,000 miles per hour. The project has since advanced to include other aircraft and above top-secret technology. The Department of Defense, in conjunction with Lockheed Martin's Advanced Development Program, or commonly referred to as the Skunk Works, began the project in 1985, and there is every indication that it is still running today, albeit in a significantly more advanced point of development. News of the Aurora project initially leaked around March 1990, when Aviation Week and Space Technology magazine revealed news that Aurora had been inadvertently included in the 1985 US defense budget under a financial allocation of $455 million, citing black aircraft production in fiscal year 1985. According to Aviation Week, Project Aurora referred to a number of exotic aircraft prototypes rather than a singular item. Funding towards the project reached $2.3 billion by fiscal year 1987, according to a 1986 Department of Defense procurement document, which was obtained by Aviation Week. Ben Rich, who is the former head of Lockheed's Advanced Development Program at the United States Air Force's Nevada Test Range from 1975 to 1991, stated in his 1994 book titled Skunk Works that the Aurora was the budgetary codename for the stealth bomber, which eventually became the B-2 Spirit and thus went into production. However, Ben Rich had also previously declined that Aurora was even a thing, citing that a colonel at the Pentagon accidentally misnamed a bomber project in development on some official paperwork and the media discovered it. Needless to say, Rich, right up until his death in 1995, was always committed to his official secrets contract and was subject to top secret clearance. He simply wouldn't be able to confirm the existence of any prototype aircraft, even if he wanted to. Bear in mind that back in the 1970s, Rich also stated that stealth technology wasn't possible and that the United States government was not working towards achieving stealth technology. By the 1990s, however, Rich was known as the godfather of stealth technology, having directed the Skunk Works as they produced the F-117 Nighthawk stealth bomber and the F-22 Raptor tactical stealth fighter jet. I need to be really clear at this point that you need to take into account that there is a significantly wide margin between new technology that is sufficiently mature and reliable enough to mass produce and place into combat operations, and advanced tech that might be within scientific reach but that isn't sustainable from any economic or political standpoint. A case in point actually is the F-22 Raptor. It was originally created in 1989 as the YF-22, but was simply too expensive to mass produce at the time as the tech was so cutting edge. Fast forward some 16 years later, and it was set into production as the F-22 between 2005 and 2011. Department of Defense watchers often say that new tech is commonly 20 years behind invention and state-of-the-art prototypes. The F-22 scenario seems to support that saying. Anyway, I digress. Back to the Aurora. Since 1966, the lead American reconnaissance aircraft in the US top secret arsenal was always the SR-71, or the Blackbird as you may know it. During aerial reconnaissance missions, the SR-71 operated at extreme high speeds and altitudes. It could easily achieve Mach 3 or 2,500 miles per hour and cruise at an altitude of 85,000 feet. This would allow the aircraft to easily outrace or entirely avoid any threats. If a surface-to-air missile launch was detected, for example, the craft could simply accelerate and outpace the missile's top speed of 500 miles per hour, the pilot's standard procedure in this event. Well, the SR-71 was retired by the United States Department of Defense in 1998, and it's extremely unlikely that they would retire the fleet without something to replace it. What we do know is that hypersonic flight has now been achieved by NASA and the United States Air Force above Mach 25, which is roughly 19,000 miles per hour. Known projects from the United States, such as the SR-72, the DARPA Falcon, the X-15, X-17, and the X-51 Waverider, are all in the public domain, as are the United Kingdom's Skylon and Reaction A-2 aircrafts. China's WZ-9 and India's HSTDV are also hypersonic craft of the same caliber. Information regarding all of these is extremely difficult to come across, however, due to their secretive development and classified nature, but we do know they exist. So with all this information, we know that the Aurora could still have been possible during the 1990s. Further to this information, though, is that in August 1989, an engineer who was working on the barge GSF Galveston Key in the North Sea witnessed a strange isosceles triangle-shaped twin-tailed jet black Delta aircraft. The aircraft was refueling from a Boeing KC-135 Stratotanker, which he immediately recognized, and was also accompanied by two F-111 fighter bombers. The witness, Chris Gibson, said that he watched the aircraft for several minutes until they eventually flew out of sight. The sighting was made public in 1992. The British Defence Secretary at the time, Tom King, stated that he was officially told by the Ministry of Defence, "There is no knowledge within the Ministry of Defence of a black programme of this nature, although it would not surprise the relevant desk officers in the Air Staff and Defence Intelligence Staff if it did exist." Chris Gibson created an illustration of the aircraft that he witnessed that day. You can view that illustration over at deathcult.com/Calvine. I recommend you view the website on a desktop computer, as there's quite a lot of detail that might be tricky to view on a mobile device. So, Aurora was capable of flying at intense hypersonic speeds and purposefully built for overseas defense programs and spy missions. And it was part of the discussion in relation to Calvine, with many thinking that's what the object actually was. Well, did you know that some eyewitnesses have also come forward and commented that the Aurora was spotted on the ground stationed at RAF Macrahanish at the time of the Calvine UFO sighting? However, the UK Defence Minister denied on record in Parliament that the United States military had not been given permission to fly or land any mysterious stealth or prototype aircraft within UK airspace. But this only spawned more conspiracy theories, as Department of Defense followers, military enthusiasts, and ufologists knew this wasn't true. One way that they debunked these parliamentary comments was due to an incident they cited as occurring on the 26th of September 1994, where a crash occurred at RAF Boscombe Down in Wiltshire. The aircraft crash was clearly linked to black ops and prototyped aircraft, as according to a report in Air Force's Monthly. United States Air Force flooded into the base in significant numbers following the crash. British Special Air Service, or the SAS, personnel arrived in plain clothes in an Augusta 109 helicopter and immediately sealed off the scene from any onlookers. The crash site was protected from view by military vehicles and tarpaulins, and the base was locked down and closed to all flights. No civilian support was allowed to assist, for example, the fire or ambulance services, and none of this was standard military protocol. Unsubstantiated civilian reports from the time purports that the jet trail left after the sonic boom was unique in that it was a slim line with donut-shaped events at regular intervals. This was discussed by a number of locals in the village near the airbase, and it corresponded with other eyewitnesses' reports of the Aurora jet trail from other parts of the globe, and is consistent with the science surrounding a pulse detonation engine which the Aurora is rumoured to have. In 1993, the BBC News reported on the secretive Aurora project after further sightings of the aircraft near the RAF Macrahanish base. We actually managed to track down a copy of that news report, and it's right here.
"World War might be over, President Clinton might be cutting defence spending, but secret American spy projects are still going on. One is so secret and so fast that officially it doesn't even exist. They think they know better in Western Scotland, as our Scotland correspondent Hugh Pym reports."
It's the mystery of Macrahanish. Why has an isolated airbase got a runway longer than some of Britain's busiest international airports? The answer, according to plane spotters, is that behind the wire at this RAF base is the occasional home of an American spy plane, codename Aurora. Officially, it doesn't exist, but Aurora's still front page news in American science magazines. Some experts say it looks like this, others say more like this, or even this. But whatever others say, David Anderson's convinced he knows. He lives under the flight path from Makrahanish. He says he's seen it.
We could see the windows on it, where the cockpit obviously was, and the jet outlets coming out of the back of it, but going very, very fast indeed.
Had you ever seen anything like it?
Never anything like it before.
For many years, the Americans denied that this aircraft existed, the Blackbird, an earlier spy plane which holds the world airspeed record, more than three times the speed of sound.
These new aircraft, if they exist, in order to justify their existence, would have to be significantly faster than that, and so we might imagine an airplane capable of flying at least 3,000 miles an hour.
Unless President Clinton decides to formally confirm or deny the existence of Aurora, speculation will continue about the secret spy plane and the mystery of its visits to Makrahanish. Hugh Pym, News at 10, on the Mull of Kintyre.
The original Calvin UFO photographs, which were hidden away by the Ministry of Defence, were eventually scrutinised by intelligence chiefs. According to Dr. David Clark, the official thoughts were that the UFO was a top-secret US aerial project. This directly conflicts, however, with what Nick Pope has stated in the past. Pope, as we know, actually worked at the Ministry of Defence in the early 90s, and in particular, on the UFO investigation programme. Pope claimed that it was the best photograph of an actual UFO that he had ever seen. Fun fact, a number of years ago, I made a Freedom of Information request to the UK Ministry of Defence, what's known as a FOIA request in the United States. In the request, I asked them for copies of any files that they hold on the subject of unidentified flying aircraft, and also, in what capacity did the Ministry of Defence investigate unidentified aerial phenomenon in UK airspace. The response that I received was really interesting. In a letter from Francis Shaler of the UK Air Command Division of the UK Ministry of Defence, I was told that after a thorough search, she could confirm that the MOD had no files or documents that discuss UFOs. Further, the Ministry of Defence does not and never has investigated UFO activity in the UK airspace, and thus the MOD has no opinion on UFOs whatsoever. As you can imagine, I was a little bit surprised by this response, as I knew that what I had been told in the letter was all untrue. Number one, firstly, I knew they operated a UFO investigation desk, at least in the 1990s, as Nick Pope has come forward with credible evidence to support his claims. Further, he has presented official MOD documentation to confirm his employment there. Two, knowing that there was a UFO investigation desk at the MOD meant that there had to be UFO investigation files or documents. Unless, of course, Mr. Pope sat there for a number of years and got paid for doing literally nothing, which I highly doubt. And three, just this one photograph and document released by the Ministry of Defence in relation to the Calvin event alone confirms that they did have documents on the subject of UFOs when I contacted them. Anyway, eventually the MOD papers were officially declassified. The names of the two men who witnessed the UFO, as well as Craig Lindsay, were redacted from the file, understandably under the British General Data Protection Laws. Standard protocol for the release of previously confidential materials is to do so after a period of 30 years have passed. By this standard, the Calvin photograph and corresponding file should have been released on January 1st, 2020. This, however, for some reason, didn't happen. The MOD and the National Archives initially attempted to keep the Calvin file under wraps and classified until 2076. The MOD stated this was due to privacy concerns. They also stated that there were no photographs contained within the file. The file itself states that the original negatives of the photographs were returned to the Scottish Daily Record newspaper. All very strange. Dr. David Clark attempted to seriously examine and analyse the picture with Andrew Robinson, a senior lecturer in photography at Sheffield Hallam University. Both men agreed that the image is legitimate. Clark kicked off the examination discussion by stating, if it is a hoax, then it's a highly elaborate one, involving expensive, sophisticated equipment and flying models, not at the disposal of two jobbing hotel chefs. Robinson agreed and supported the judgment by saying, "My conclusion is that the object is definitely in front of the camera's lens. That is, it's not a fake produced in post-production. And its placement within the scene appears to be approximately halfway between the foreground fence and the plane in the background." Graham Randall of the UAP Media UK group and a colleague of Dr. David Clark states, "We may not be any closer to knowing exactly what the object photographed above Calvine in August 1990 was, or who the craft belonged to." So what exactly happened that night in the summer of 1990? What did those men see, and what happened to them? Was it a top secret US advanced technology mission that was stumbled upon? The incident certainly poses more questions than it actually answers, as most UFO sightings do. Now, this will sound like a very cynical slant right now, although I promise you it's not, but by far the country with the most UFO sightings is, and always has been, the United States of America. It has some 8.5 times more sightings than the country in second place globally, which is Canada. The United States also has the world's highest annual military budget too, and thus more black programs than any other nation. Tie that together with cultural, media and community trends such as the US sci-fi interest in film and television, a generalized popular fear of big government, conspiracy, outside agitators and losing in the face of a grand struggle, and the US is arguably a melting point of increased probability too. Additionally, the frequency of any sighting relies heavily on population density and the habit of said population looking up to the sky. The hotspot of UFO sightings in the world could actually be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, for example. But since no one lives there except for the occasional boat or plane that passes through, then the sighting frequency will be quite low. Similarly, in Antarctica, for the same reason. So when we look at a high-density nation like the United States, you would expect to see many sightings. However, countries like India and China both have significantly higher populations than the United States, both appear in the top 10 countries on Earth with the fewest UFO sightings. In fact, there have been more UFO sightings in the USA this month than there have been in the last 40 years combined in India. Though this is likely where culture and means of the population takes hard effect. I'm not here tonight to either debunk nor promote speculation for what UFOs in general are, or even to solve or resolve the Calvine UFO case. Although I can say, with some levels of confidence, that I strongly disagree with the notion that the Calvine object was the Aurora aircraft. I say this as someone who has had an active interest in Aurora since the mid-1990s, and I have researched the subject significantly over the years, even going as far as to visit in a UK airbase late at night in heavy rainfall where a model of Aurora was rumoured to be stationed. Needless to say, it was an utterly miserable evening and I still didn't catch sight of the damn jet. What I know of Aurora is that from above the jet appears to be triangular, an isosceles triangle to be specific, where two sides are of equal length and the rear side of the triangle being slightly shorter. From the side on, the jet appears to be somewhat flat or very thin, with twin tail vertical stabilizers on the empennage. The jet is painted all black, likely due to stealth technology and to ensure a lower radar cross-section. Aurora is a manned aircraft, with certainly one but likely two personnel on board, and its cruising altitude is thought to be around 90,000 feet, with a maximum ceiling of 135,000 feet. Aurora is approximately 30 feet in length, as per eyewitness reports, and speed is speculated at around Mach 6 based on its fuel signature and likely scramjet technology within. The Aurora is known to be able to hover and appear stationary in the sky with little to no engine noise. This is tech first seen, developed and equipped on the UK's Harrier jump jets in the late 1960s. In June 2011, the US military and NASA conducted a joint test of their Waverider jet aircraft. The test was reported to the media and was an outright success, hitting Mach 6 and holding that speed. This means that such technology could travel from London to New York in less than an hour. Aurora has similar, if not more advanced capabilities. What is significant about Aurora is that it can fly high above Russia, China, North Korea, or any other unfriendly nation completely undetected, and utilize spy tech to provide the US or NATO with a wealth of enemy data. In the extremely unlikely event that the aircraft was detected by the enemy, Aurora could simply accelerate home as it can travel at speeds faster than any missile, rocket, or aircraft known to exist on Earth, including hypersonic technology. That aside, it would likely be well equipped with evasive tools and weapons of its own should it need them. Having said all this, there are several factors from the Kalvine photograph that evidences that the craft within it does not match the features of the Aurora. The color, the shape, and the twin tail are the most significant clues. That is not to say, however, that the craft spotted at Kalvine could not have been another prototype aircraft currently unknown to the general public. I have popped some images of the Aurora at deathcult.com/Kalvine. These photographs have been collected by members of the general public over the years who were lucky enough to catch a rare glimpse of the aircraft. Compare them to the craft in the Kalvine photograph and let me know if you think they're the same or any other thoughts that you might have. Anyway, that's me for tonight. I'll be back later in the week. Watch the skies, my friends.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. Visit deathcult.com for more information on how you can help us and support our broadcasts. There you can also find links to our socials, Patreon, and episodes. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.